Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to really get into the core ideas shaping our world.
That's right.
And today, we're tackling Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
Mm-hmm.
It's this really compelling idea that, you know, the best leaders, the most inspiring organizations, they don't just focus on what they do.
No, they start somewhere deeper. They start with their purpose, their why.
Exactly. And our mission today is to unpack that for you. We're drawing from a great book summary by Paul Miners and also a video summary from StoryShots to give you the key takeaways.
And, you know, this isn't just for CEOs or marketing gurus. I mean, really, if you're interested in understanding purpose or belonging or just how to inspire people, maybe in your own life, maybe at work, this is super relevant.
Yeah, definitely.
Sinek, he's a leadership expert and ethnographer. He basically spotted this pattern. It's a natural way some leaders think and communicate that just clicks with people, inspires them.
It's pretty amazing. And what really grabs me is that the whole book, Start With Why, actually came out of his 2009 TEDx talk.
Mm-hmm.
And get this. That talk, it's now the third most watched TED Talk of all time. Over 25 million views.
It's just huge. It really is. Speaks volumes, doesn't it?
So beyond that incredible reach,
yeah.
What is it about Sinek himself? I mean, he's a motivational speaker, author.
Yeah, he's written bestsellers like The Infinite Game, lectures at Columbia, advises huge companies, Apple, GE, Nike, you name it.
Wow.
I think people see him almost as a modern day philosopher, really zeroing in on why certain people and organizations can genuinely inspire us just by talking about their purpose, their core belief.
Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. Sinek kicks things off by drawing a line, a really clear one, between manipulation and inspiration.
Right.
He says most businesses, well, they rely on manipulation, things like sales, price drops, promotions.
Fear tactics, playing on aspirations, peer pressure, even just novelty, the new shiny thing effect.
Exactly. Right? And look, those things can work, right? They get you a quick win, a sale.
Oh, absolutely. Short-term gains.
But Sinek's point is that doesn't build real lasting loyalty. It's superficial. So what's the actual risk if a company just keeps relying on that?
Well, the risk is exactly that. No loyalty. You get transactional relationships. Sinek's whole argument is that real leadership, the kind that inspires, offers something more, a purpose beyond just the incentives.
Reason to connect.
Precisely. When people are inspired, they feel fulfilled by that connection, and that's where the loyalty comes from. He literally says loyal customers will turn down a better price or product to continue doing business with you.
Wow. That's powerful.
It is. It's why he defines leadership as the ability to rally people not for a single event, but for years. It's about sustaining that belief.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He introduces this framework, the golden circle.
Ah, yes, the golden circle. Simple, but profound.
Could you describe it? It's like three circles.
Yeah, imagine three concentric circles. On the outside, you have the what? In the middle, the HOW, and right there in the center, the bullseye, is the WHY.
Okay, what, how, WY?
So that's the easy one. Every single company knows what they do. Their products, their services, the functions they perform, it's tangible.
Right, like we sell computers or we offer consulting.
Exactly. Then the HOW. This is where some companies differentiate themselves. It's their unique selling proposition, their specific processes, values, or principles that make them different or maybe better, how they do what they do.
Okay, makes sense.
But then the WHY, that's the core. And Sinek says very few companies truly know or can articulate their WHY. It's their purpose, their cause, their fundamental belief. It's not about making money that's a result.
Right, money's the outcome, not the purpose.
It's about asking, why does this organization exist? Why get out of bed? And critically, why should anyone else care?
And the Apple example he uses just nails this difference, doesn't it? How most companies communicate versus how Apple does it.
Oh, absolutely. It's the classic illustration. Most companies go outside in, what they do, maybe how they do it.
Buy our great computers. They're user-friendly.
Right. But Apple flips it. They start from the inside with WHY. Could you walk us through how that sounds?
Yeah, so Apple starts with WHY. In everything that we do, we believe in challenging the status quo and thinking differently. Bam. Straight to the belief.
Mm-hmm. Emotional connection right there.
Then the how to view. The way we do this is to design products that are beautifully designed and easy to use. So the how W is the proof of the WHY.
It serves the belief.
And finally, the what? We just so happen to make great computers. Want to buy one? It almost feels like an afterthought, but it's the tangible result of everything else.
It's a completely different conversation, isn't it? The product becomes evidence of the belief, not the starting point.
And that changes everything for the person hearing it. It's not just a sales pitch.
Exactly. Sinek points out it's not a debate about better or worse anymore. It's a discussion about different needs. And crucially, he says, before the discussion can even happen, the WHYs for each must be established first.
So you're finding people who believe what you believe, not just people who need what you sell.
Precisely. You're connecting on values.
Okay, so this isn't just smart marketing psychology. Sinek actually links this golden circle to our biology, to how our brains are wired.
He does, and this is fascinating. The golden circle, he argues, maps directly onto the major parts of the human brain.
Really? How so?
Well, the what circle corresponds to our neocortex. That's the newest part of our brain, evolutionarily speaking. It handles rational thought, analytical thinking, language, facts, figures.
Okay, the logical brain.
Right. But the HOW and the WHY, the middle and inner circles, they correspond to the limbic brain. This is a much older part of the brain. It's responsible for our feelings, trust, loyalty, and, importantly, all our decision making, all our behavior.
So decisions come from the feeling part, not the thinking part.
Largely, yes.
Yeah.
And here's the kicker. The limbic brain has no capacity for language.
No language.
Nope. That's why we get those gut feelings, or why we sometimes say, I don't know, it just feels right. We struggle to put words to the decisions made in the limbic brain.
So if companies just talk about the features, the facts, they're only talking to the rational neocortex.
Exactly. They're not hitting the decision-making center first.
So how do they reach that limbic brain then, if it doesn't understand language?
By starting with HOW and WHY. When you communicate your purpose, your beliefs, your values first, you engage the limbic brain from the get-go. The decision often happens there, emotionally. Then the neocortex kicks in to rationalize it, to find the facts and figures to support that feeling.
So the feeling comes first, the reasons come later.
Often, yes. And Sinek observes, companies that fail to communicate a sense of WHY force us to make decisions with only empirical evidence. Basically, they make us think too hard.
Right, and he says those decisions feel difficult, take longer, leave us uncertain.
Because you haven't had that gut-level connection.
It really explains so much, like why someone would pay a premium for an Apple product even if a PC has similar specs on paper.
Totally. MacBook isn't just a computer. It's a symbol of the user's own beliefs. It says something about them. It's a data symbol, sure, but rooted in that shared why.
And Sinek even mentions that detail about the Apple logo on the laptop lid. How it's upside down to the user, but right side up for everyone else to see.
Yeah, a tangible little symbol of thinking differently, of challenging the status quo. It's subtle, but it speaks directly to that limbic system, reinforcing the brand's WHY. It really shows how
that limbic pull, that desire for belonging, for aligning with a tribe, can actually outweigh purely rational cost-benefit analysis. It drives so much of our behavior.
Limbic brain is not built on spreadsheets and rational arguments alone.
So you can't lodge it if someone isn't trusting you.
Not really. Sinek says earning trust requires leaders to communicate and demonstrate that you share the same values and beliefs. You have to talk about your WHY consistently.
Talk the talk.
And crucially, walk the walk. You have to prove your WY with what you do. Your actions have to align with your stated beliefs. He puts it perfectly. Again, a WY is just a belief. How W's are the actions we take to realize that belief, and what's are the results of those actions?
Beliefs, actions, results.
When all three are in balance, he says, trust is built and value is perceived. It has to be congruent.
That consistency is everything. And this must have huge implications for hiring, right?
Absolutely massive. Sinek argues you should hire people who believe what you believe, people who align with your WHY skills. Those are secondary.
Really? Skills are secondary?
That's his take. Because skills can often be taught, but belief, intrinsic motivation, that's much harder to instill. He has that great quote, great companies don't hire skilled people and motivate them. They hire already motivated people and inspire them.
Hire motivated people and inspire them. I like that.
It's about finding people who are already on board with your purpose. When you do that, you build a strong culture. People feel like they belong, they feel protected, they trust each other because they share those core values. Fear goes down, collaboration goes up.
It makes sense. And this idea of finding people who believe what you believe, That connects to his discussion about tipping points, doesn't
right.
it? And this law of diffusion of innovations.
Yes, exactly. He draws on Everett Rogers' work from the 60s. Rogers mapped out how innovations spread through a population using a bell curve.
Okay, what are the categories?
You've got innovators first, a tiny group, maybe 2.5%. Then early adopters, about 13.5%. Then the big chunks, early majority and late majority, both around 34%. And finally, the laggards, the last 16% or so.
Innovators, early adopters, early majority, late majority, laggards. Got it.
Now, Sinek's point is that mass market success happens when you cross a tipping point, usually somewhere between 15% and 18% market penetration. That's when you capture the early majority.
So you don't need to convince everyone at the start.
No, quite the opposite. The goal isn't to sell to everybody. It's to focus on finding and connecting with those innovators and early adopters. Why? Because they are the ones who already resonate with your WHY.
They get it instinctively.
Yes. They're the ones willing to pay more or wait in line for hours outside the Apple store because they perceive greater value in what you do. They believe what you believe.
And the laggards.
Sinek basically says, don't waste your energy. They're resistant. They're not loyal. They won't buy into your WHY anyway. Focus on the believers.
Focus on the believers. Okay. So shifting focus inside the organization again. Sinek visualizes the golden circle not just as flat rings, but as a 3D cone, like a megaphone.
Right. The cone. It's a great visual for structure.
What does that tell us? What's at the top? What's at the bottom?
At the narrow top of the megaphone, the mouthpiece, you have the WHY types. These are the visionaries. Think Steve Jobs. They're imaginative, future-focused, maybe a bit unrealistic sometimes. Their charisma comes directly from their connection to the WHY. They inspire loyalty.
The ideas people, the dreamers.
Exactly. And then below them, forming the wider part of the cone that projects the sound, are the HOW types. These are the implementers, the builders, think Steve Wozniak. They're practical, realistic, focused on the present and near future. They figure out how to make the visionary's WHY actually happen.
So you need both, the dreamer and the doer.
Absolutely essential. Sinek stresses that one without the other is almost useless. The visionary needs the builder and the builder needs the vision. It's a crucial partnership.
That really clarifies different leadership styles, too. Sinek contrasts energy with charisma, using Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates as examples.
Yeah, that's a great distinction. Ballmer, lots of energy, very passionate on stage, could get people hyped up.
But short-term impact, maybe?
That's Sinek's suggestion. Energy motivates, but it might not last. Charisma, on the other hand, which Sinek attributes to Gates, despite Gates being seen as maybe shy and awkward, that comes from a deep, unwavering belief. It's tied to the WHY.
And that demands loyalty.
It inspires loyalty, yeah. Because people aren't just following energy, they're following a purpose they believe in, embodied by the leader.
So, tying this all together, marketing and branding, they're not just about shouting your what.
Not at all. They should be the vehicle for communicating your WHY. They're how you define and inspire the believers, how you let people connect their own values to your product or service. That's how you build real trust.
Because if you don't...
Well, Sinek warns, if what you do
doesn't prove what you believe, then no one will know what your WHY is, and you'll be forced to compete on price, service quality, features, and benefits.
The stuff of commodities. You're just like every... Achievement, but not success. What's the difference?
Sinek defines it clearly. Achievement is something you reach or attain, like a goal. Hitting a sales target, launching a product, tangible.
Right.
Success, in contrast, is a feeling or a state of being. He says, achievement comes when you pursue and attain what you want. Success comes when you are clear in pursuit of why you want it.
Ah, so you can hit all the targets but feel empty if you've lost touch with the purpose behind it all.
Precisely. When the focus shifts only to the how-tell you and the metrics, the operations, the profits, the WHY gets fuzzy. Passion fades, innovation stalls, even if the numbers look okay for a while.
That makes so much sense. And isn't there something Sinek calls the school bus test?
Yes. The idea is, what happens if the founder gets hit by a school bus? It's a bit morbid, but the point is...
Does the WHY die with him?
Exactly. The challenge isn't just keeping the founder around forever. It's embedding the WHY so deeply into the organization's culture and systems that it outlives any single individual. The vision needs to stay clear.
And that gets harder as the company grows, right? The founder can't talk to every customer or employee anymore.
Right. So communication, especially marketing, has to shift. It becomes about utilizing symbols to show the world the company's message. Because symbols, as Sinek notes, only have the meaning we give them.
Like the Harley-Davidson example.
Perfect example. The HOG Harley Owners Group creates this incredible community, this lifestyle. It's so powerful that people get tattoos of the logo. That's not just brand loyalty.
That's tribal identity, deeply connected to a shared WHY. The tattoo is a symbol of that shared belief.
And conversely, we see big companies stumble when they're what?
Sinek argues that after Sam Walton, whose WHY was genuinely about helping lower-income families save money, the company became focused purely on profit, often at the expense of employees and suppliers. Their WHY got fuzzy, and they faced struggles. The what started driving decisions, not the original purpose.
So if a company feels its WHY is fuzzy, how do they get it back? Can they just invent a new one?
Sinek is quite firm on this. He says the WHY is a process of discovery, not invention.
Discovery, not invention. Okay.
It doesn't come from market research or looking ahead at future goals. He says, quite counterintuitively, it comes from looking in the completely opposite direction from where you are now.
Looking backwards.
Yes. Into your past, your origins, the founding story, the initial passion. The WHY is already there. It just needs to be uncovered and articulated clearly again.
Interesting. So you can't just pick a trendy purpose.
It won't be authentic and it won't resonate deeply. He also gives related advice. Only compete with yourself.
Don't worry about the competition.
Focus internally on being better today than you were yesterday, guided by your WHY. Paradoxically, this focus on self-improvement actually fosters more collaboration because you're not obsessed with just beating others. You're obsessed with advancing your own cause.
Okay, so wrapping this all up then, this deep dive into start with why really hammers home how crucial it is to understand the difference between what you do, how you do it, and fundamentally why you do it.
Absolutely. And that leading with WHY is the key to
genuine inspiration and building those incredibly loyal connections.
So true leadership is about articulating that WHY clearly, proving it through your actions to build trust.
So perhaps the question for all of us is, what's that vision for you, personally, professionally, and how can you start with your own WHY to bring it into the world?